I don't know what just happened. I'm still in shock about what I just watched in this Pistons loss in OT to the Clippers, where they were up 14 points with about 3 minutes left. I have no clue what the hell just happened.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Pistons Podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Guys, I'm recording this about, I would say this, it's probably like 45 minutes after this loss, and I have no clue what I just witnessed. That was something I've never seen before. Like I'm in complete shock. Complete shock. At the 3 minute and 34 minute mark of the fourth quarter, the Detroit Pistons were up by 14, and the Clippers waved the white flag. They took out Zubac. They took out Paul George. They took out John Wall. They took out Marcus Morris. They waved the white flag. They ended up winning by 11 points. I've never seen it before. I've never seen something like that happen. Ever. I've never seen something like that ever happen in my life. That was crazy. So, I mean, look, there's so many things that went wrong here. There's so many things that went wrong here in this game for the Pistons. So, in the final 8 minutes of this game, the Detroit Pistons were outscored 30-8. 30-8 by the Clippers. And again, there were so many things that went wrong, I don't even know where to start with what went wrong. First off, I want to say you can't blame any singular person. You can't blame any just a singular coach. You can't blame a singular person for any of this. Everyone. It's on everybody. I don't know, like, so look, in the final six, after the 3 minute mark of this game, the Detroit Pistons had 3 turnovers, if my math is correct here. Killian Hayes turned the ball over 3 times, and Bojan Bogdanović turned it over 3 times. They were very loose with the basketball. I'm at a loss for words, guys. I'm for real. It was just awful basketball for the final 8 minutes. I mean, there's really nothing else to say about it. It was just awful basketball all the way around. I mean, you could just go down the list of everything that went wrong. It was just awful basketball from there was some bad coaching decisions. There was some bad play from every single player on the floor. It was awful. And when a team waves the white flag with 3.5 minutes left and you're up by 14 and you keep your starters in, there's no way ever that you lose that basketball game. There's no way ever that you lose that basketball game. And the Pistons just did. In horrific fashion. Horrific fashion. I guess I'll start here. I know I said a little bit about the turnovers, but I guess I'll start here. I'm just going to work my way down. We're going to start from the get-go and work my way down. So, we had immediate turnover from Bojan Bogdanović at the 3 minute mark with the Clippers white flag lineup in that led to a score. Then Bojan missed the free throw that led to another dunk from Coffey. Then the Pistons had a shot clock turnover that led to a Moses Brown layup and one, a foul from Ivy. Right after that, then you had a Killian Hayes turnover that led to a three-pointer from Nicholas Batum. And then after that, you had a missed pull-up shot from Killian, a missed driving floater from Alec Burks, and a missed tip from Alec Burks that led to two more points. Another late clock shot clock, three-point shot from Alec Burks that missed. And then with 20 seconds left, Paul George missed the front end of a free throw. The Pistons still had a lead by one. I thought the game was over there. I thought he sold. And then Killian Hayes got the ball, went to the free throw line. He made the first one, and then he missed the second one. And all the things before that obviously contributed to it. The 3 minutes before that, horrific basketball, but Killian had a chance right there to slam the door shut, even with all the stuff beforehand. Even with all the stuff that happened before, Killian Hayes had a chance right there to slam the door shut on the Clippers. I mean, maybe not technically slam the door shut, because if they hit a three, then it's still a tie game. But that would have been much harder to do. But he had a chance right there to do it. He had a chance right there to do it. And then they came down, and Terrence Mann hit a pull-up jump shot, and then we had OT. Along with Killian Hayes' missed free throw that, you know, had a big part of this. You know, I was on a watch party with Bryce Simon, host of the Pistons Pulse podcast, and he mentioned it, and he's completely right here. Another thing that went wrong for the Pistons right around that same time, right before Killian Hayes took these free throws, the Pistons took a timeout after Paul George made the second of his free throw. They had one timeout left. They took a timeout there. They took their final timeout. So when the Clippers came down and scored and tied the game, they didn't have a timeout to then move the ball up. So they were forced to try go full court 5 seconds and take a shot. And it wasn't like Ivy was in the game to go full court, how quick he is. Ended up with Bojan Bogdanović just walking the ball up and ignoring a wide-open Killian Hayes on the right side of him and taking a contested pull-up three-pointer from about 28, 29 feet. And that was obviously off. So that's just the end of the fourth. We'll get into what happened in OT in the next segment. But in the fourth quarter at the end of the game, you had a few bad turnovers. You had multiple bad shots. And then really, I know people are going to focus on the offense, but the defense is what lost the Pistons this game. You're up by 14 with 3 minutes left. How does a team score? How many points did they score after that? They scored, if my math's correct, they scored 15 points after that? They scored 15? How do you do that? How do you allow that? You can't allow that to happen, especially to a lineup full of, you know, it was the wave the white flag lineup. Forget the offense. Yes, they turned the ball over a little bit and took some bad shots. But with 3 minutes left, you figured that you could still get away with that. The defense was so bad. I this was a complete team collapse on both ends of the floor. From everyone, from the coaching staff, this was something I've never seen before. And what I just mentioned at the end of the fourth quarter was just the beginning of it. So when we come back, we'll talk about what went wrong in overtime. But first, you guys got to hear from some of our sponsors. First up, you guys got to hear from BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From pro football to college bowl season to basketball, we've got it all covered at BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. And you head over to the basketball tab at BetOnline.net. You click that tab. You'll see they got the favorites and the odds for MVP, Sixth Man of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Most Improved Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, who's the odds-on favorite to win the championship right now, who's the odds-on favorite to have the worst record in the league right now. All that over there at BetOnline.net. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. that's another great way to support the podcast, man. I'm flustered. I can't believe what just happened. All right, man. Let's move into the. Let's go to the overtime now. So, there's one more thing that happened at the end of the fourth quarter that was really questionable. The Pistons subbed in Hamidou Diallo for defensive purposes. Terrible decision. Hamidou Diallo plays defense with his hands, not his feet. He's not a smart defender, and the Los Angeles Clippers put him in a pick and roll twice on that foul possession. He screwed up the switch both times. First time, I thought they were going to get a wide open three for Terrence Mann. I thought he was going to get a wide open three and game him, but Paul George didn't pass it to him. He was late and damn near turned the ball over. Then he kicked it back out to Terrence Mann. Terrence Mann gave it right back to Paul George. They messed up the switch again with Hamidou Diallo, and then Terrence Mann ends up with a wide open pull-up jumper. So that right there in and of itself, subbing in Diallo for a defensive possession is questionable in and of itself. Because he's not a good defender. He's not a smart defender. It's not that was right there already. Another thing. So add on to the list of things we've already went through at the end of the fourth. That's another thing that you could question. Now let's go to the overtime period, where the Pistons scored 3 points. They scored 3 points the entire fourth quarter. The only point they scored was an Alec Burks pull-up jumper with the shot clock running out. And this is how it went for the Pistons. They had a turnover with the 4 minute and 10 second mark where Paul George ran up from behind Killian Hayes and stole it for him. I'm not pulling that turnover on Killian Hayes. Alec Burks just threw it right in front of Killian Hayes. And before Killian Hayes, before he could even get his hands on it, Paul George came from behind and ripped him from it. So I'm really putting that turnover on Alec Burks. But that's another turnover nonetheless. Then the next possession, you got Bojan Bogdanović comes down the floor. He goes isolation against Nicholas Batum, probably or one of, if not the best defender for the Clippers on the floor, one of the best on the floor. He goes ISO against Nicholas Batum with a defender playing hard at the nail, which what hard in the nail means is that the one pass away defender is playing so close in the driving lane, he's trying to take it away. If the defense is playing like that, the simple read is to take one dribble and then pass it to the guy he's helping off of. You get open three right there. That would have been Killian Hayes on the left wing, I believe. Yeah, the left wing, it was Killian Hayes. Instead of him making that pass right there, he tries to rip through the defense helping, and then he goes for a fadeaway jumper, which gets blocked by Nicholas Batum. Then that happens. The Pistons call a timeout after Luke Kennard hits a three, and they go up five. They come out the timeout and waste 21 seconds of the shot clock, and it ends up in a step-back Killian Hayes three. There was no offense ran. I don't know what happened. We're not in the locker rooms. I'm not at the post games. I don't know. I wish someone could ask about these plays. But coming out of a timeout, they ran. What happened was they passed the ball in for Killian Hayes. Killian Hayes stood at the top of the key for about 18 seconds and then just shot a step back. There was no set going on. There was no action going on off ball. I don't know who was on. I refuse to believe that the plan was for Killian Hayes isolation. I refuse to believe that Killian Hayes went rogue and called his own play right there. Something went wrong with the players on the floor. Either they didn't know what they were supposed to run, they were confused, I don't know what happened. But that was another offensive possession that just went to hell. Then Terrence Mann comes down, hits a step-back jumper. Next possession, Pistons stumble into a Jalen Duren cutting layup shot that was damn near a turnover. He just had to pick the ball up and threw it at the rim. The offense was just... I don't know who to blame for it. To end OT, by the way, we had a turnover from Bojan Bogdanović and then also another turnover from Killian Hayes at the end, at the very end, last possession. So if my math is correct, we had 3 turnovers from Bojan, 3 turnovers from Killian Hayes. One of the turnovers, I believe, was also Alec Burks. I would have put on Alec Burks. So really, you had turnovers from all of those guys. You had multiple bad shots, bad decisions from Bojan Bogdanović, which we've seen so many times before. Down the stretch, this has been something we've talked about all season long with Bojan Bogdanović. At the end of games, the Pistons just go ISO heavy. They don't move. They stop moving the ball. They stop running sets. And they just go Bojan Bogdanović isolations. And he doesn't make the right decision ever. Either he's taking a bad shot, he's getting blocked, or he's turned the ball over on a terrible pass. And then you had Killian Hayes, who had probably one of his... Actually, no, let me not say one of his worst stretches, because the first 10 games were horrific. But since he turned his season around... this little stretch was not something he wanted to remember from. And I don't, like, he had turnovers that he shouldn't have made. He had a chance to somewhat slam the door shut. If they make a three, okay then. But a three-point would have been harder to make. He had a chance there. He missed that free throw to ice the game, basically. And he had some tough shots that he took in OT. But the offense, I don't know. I can't blame it on one player with the offense. Like, I have to, I don't know what, this is something we've seen all year with the Pistons, where it's just, they go into isolation basketball. I don't get it. That's what happened here against the Clippers. They just went all isolation to end the game. There was no more pick and rolls. There was no more pin down. There was no more action, no more ball movement. And we've seen it 30 times this year. It happens over and over and over and over again. So I don't know if I can blame the players. I have to assume this is something that's like, this is their offensive scheme down the stretch. I don't know, man. I don't know who to blame. You can't blame one person for this. This was a complete team collapse. A complete team collapse by everybody. By everyone. And really, forget overtime. Forget everything we saw in overtime. Screw overtime. Every single Piston player that was on the floor for the final 3 minutes and 22 seconds of this game, after they waved the white flag and brought the subs in, every player that was on the court should take the blame for this. Every player. Every player. Bojan, Killian Hayes, Jaden Ivey, Alec Burks, Isaiah Stewart, Jalen Duren, every single player that played on the court, Hamidou Diallo, Sadiq Bey, every single player that even touched the court for the final 3 minutes and 22 seconds should take blame for this loss, because there's no way in living hell that you should lose a 14-point lead with 3 minutes left, especially when the other team doesn't even have their starters in. They waved the white flag. I'm so disappointed, because this would have been one of their best wins of the year. I was so looking forward to coming on the podcast and talking about how they were moving the ball so well. I believe like they had 9 assists in the first 10 field goal made. I believe at halftime they had like 13 assists and like 15 made field goal. Like, they were doing such a good job moving the basketball, finding the open guy, not being selfish, not playing ISO basketball. They were doing such a great job with it. And then something just happened in the final 3 minutes. I don't know what it was, but everything they had done up to that point went out the window. It's embarrassing. They should be embarrassed. I believe I saw one of you guys tweet at me and say they were getting booed off their home court. They 100% should have been. That was embarrassing. That was pitiful. They should be ashamed of themselves. Every single person, coaching staff, player, everyone that participated in it. It is what it is, man. It is what it is. When we come back, man, I guess I'll talk about some of the good things that happened earlier on that I was planning on talking about on the podcast. I guess we'll talk about that at the end of the podcast. But first, I got to tell you guys about a message from the NHTSA. You hang out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few becomes few too many. And as the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think about calling for a ride. Nah, you live nearby. You can make it home okay. It's no big deal. What are the odds? You'll get pulled over anyway. And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up. You lose your license. You lose your job. You tow your car. Or you could kill someone. Everyone knows about the risk of driving drunk. The results are often tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life and someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review, whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Like I said earlier, I was really looking forward to coming on the podcast and talking about the positives talk about the positives from this game, because I'm telling you guys, man, before this collapse, this was This was a really good game by the Pistons. Like, it was a really, really good game. I'm just really sad that they ruined it for the game. The Pistons, oh, I'm sorry, this is only the fourth quarter. I changed the stats. For the game, the Pistons had 32 assists on 44 made field goals. They were sharing the ball. They were passing the ball around. They were finding open guys. And they had 6 turnovers in the final 3 minutes and all 5 minutes of OT. So if you take away those turnovers outside that stretch right there, they only had 11 turnovers of the game before then. So 32 assists to 11 turnovers. Like, it was, they were moving the ball so, so well. So, so well. The rebounding battle, according to NBA.com, was 48 to 45. They didn't get destroyed in the glass. Every player that played meaningful minutes, Kevin Knox was the only one at 7 minutes, but every player that played meaningful minutes was in double figures. Diallo had 12 points in 16 minutes off the bench. Sadiq Bey had 13 points. He made 3 of 6 of his threes. Alec Burks had 14. Jane Ivey had 15. 15 and 8 assists. One of the best passing games Jane Ivey's had on the year. He had 8 assists. Jalen Duren had 15 and 12. Isaiah Stewart was 8 of 10 from the field and had 21 points. Bojan Bogdanović had 23. And Killian Hayes had 18 and 10 and 5. This is a game the Pistons should have won and should have been going to the locker room feeling so, so good about themselves. So, so good. They played such a great game for 45 minutes. For 45 minutes, they played such a great game. They shot 44% from the field, 47% from deep. They played so well for 45 minutes, man. And then it just got washed away. And in this game, they were without Marvin Bagley as well. He was out with the illness. The Clippers were without Kawhi Leonard. It's tough, man. It's really a tough loss to have, man. Like, I'm struggling here. I really am. I'm just like, all I have to talk about is just to keep ranting about how this was just so bad. It's tough to see it, man. So, I mean, I guess we'll wrap up the podcast, man. A short podcast today, man. It's just, look, coaching staff gets some blame. The timeout they took at the end, so they didn't have a timeout when the Clippers eventually scored. Questionable decision. Killian Hayes not being able to hit the second free throw to make it a 3-point game. Goes on him. Bojan Bogdanović with his turnovers and awful shot selection at the end of the games. At the end of the game in the whole OT, that's on him. Killian Hayes with a few of his turnovers in OT, that's on him. I'm putting that one turnover where Paul George goes from behind Alec Burks or Killian Hayes and rips him. I'm putting that completely on Alec Burks. So Alec Burks had a bad turnover. The defense from everybody was awful. That's on him. That's on everybody. Dwayne Casey bringing in Diallo for defensive purposes. I respect the fact that we actually got offense for defense sub, defense for offense sub. But that's not the one to make. So that one's questionable on Dwayne Casey. Everybody that touched the floor shares blame here. And it's their worst loss of the year, for sure. Worst loss of the year. And the thing I'm most scared about, and we'll watch as the season goes, the next game, and you know, games keep being played. The scariest thing for me is that this may shatter these guys' confidence now. Like, a loss like this can completely shatter you. It can happen. I've seen it happen. I've seen teams take losses like this and they don't recover from it. So I hope that's not the case. I hope it's actually the opposite. I hope it motivates them to come out next game firing and get a dub and play really well. I hope that's what happens, but that's what I'm scared about, man. Cause this is the kind of thing where you collapse like this, everybody on the team is just shell shocked. And I can't blame it. So I'm in the podcast there, man. Or I'm just going to keep ranting about what the hell happened at the end of this game. But yeah, man, that's all I've got for you guys today. Let me know what you guys think about this game. What the hell happened down below in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, or hit that subscribe button at the YouTube channel. Tough loss, tough day, tough night to be a Pistons fan. And Hey, man, it is what it is. I'll catch you guys in the next one. I hope you guys enjoyed your Christmas, by the way. Stay safe out there during this weather. And until next time, I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody.